It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I talk about them on the radio. I do all I can with sports. Joining me in studio, he is the only athlete left on staff here at Half Athlete Radio. He's a tight end for the POU football program. He's kind of battling a cold this week, so bear with us.
I am.
Is DJ Winter. DJ, apart from the cold, how you been?
I've been pretty good. Still actually a little sore from the hard-fought game last Saturday, but hanging in there, getting through the week, really. I just got to get through today, and then my Thursday and Friday are really kind of low-key. So
very, very relatable.
Yeah.
Also joining us in studio, as always, he is our new co-host. His name is Seth Bershing. Seth, how you been, man?
Been pretty good, Christian. Thanks. How are you doing today?
I am doing excellent. You know, it was tough since we shift this show forward to 8 a.m. It's been tougher and tougher to get up and
I feel it
and get here, especially being a commuter this year. Like when the phone went off at 6:30 in the morning, I was like, oh, okay.
Actually, I had to sleep mine once today.
Me too, DJ.
Yeah.
I'm here all day because volleyball has a game tonight at 7.
Ooh, long day for
so
you.
So I am going to wear it on the chin like a champion all day long here at Pacific Lutheran University.
That's right, baby.
And make it through today.
It's the grind.
Let's get into our show. But first, I want to remind you that if you love everything you've heard, and we know that you do, and you want to re-listen to every show in its full form, you can do that at mastmedia.pou.edu. Once again, that's mastmedia.pou.edu. If you are subscribed to our YouTube page, we want to thank you so much because you helped us do a bonus show on Monday where we sat here and we took your calls and we had a lot of fun. DJ and Seth have listened to it back and they loved what they heard. And if we want to do another bonus show like that, we're going to set our number a little more lofty this time. We'll go for 100. If we can make it to 100 subscribers on YouTube, we'll come in studio and we'll take your calls and do it all over again. So go over to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, and subscribe to our page that way. And we'll try and get to that century mark. You think we can make it happen?
I mean, yeah. Heck yeah. Why not?
We've already doubled the subscriber count this semester.
Yeah, we totally have. Exactly. So we want to do it again. It's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. It doesn't have to be a bonus show for y'all listening at home to call in. You could call in whenever you want. You could do it by dialing 253-535-7332. Again, the number to do that is 253-535-7332. If you don't like what we're talking about and you want to switch the subject up on us, that's totally fine. All you have to do is call us, 253-535-7332. We're going to kick things off with a little POU athletics update. Let's start on the football field. POU hosted Linfield over at Sparks Stadium, and Linfield came into the game ranked number 6 in the nation.
Now they actually took a couple steps down.
And the POU football program is to credit for that because you guys took them to the absolute limit, taking them into overtime, did the POU football program. You guys got the ball first, did POU, and had a field goal chance, and it was blocked.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, it was blocked, yeah.
So POU has its field goal attempt to go up by 3. It gets blocked. Linfield gets a chance now with the college overtime rules being what they are. Linfield got a chance and they had a field goal attempt and it got blocked. However, POU gets called for a roughing.
He actually missed it. It was wide right.
He missed it?
He in fact missed it.
Wow.
It's crazy. He misses. Regardless, he misses the kick, but POU gets called for roughing the kicker on the very next play. Linfield goes in, runs around the right side and scores a touchdown for what would be the game winner. DJ, if you would like to speak on it, go ahead. If you don't want to, I know it's still pretty fresh.
Yeah, pretty emotional game for me. You know, you put so much so much into that week, with that being the sixth ranked team in the nation, and you put so much effort in the week to, you know, get over that hump and try and upset them. It just, you know, it didn't work out. We were right there. I feel really bad for the defense because offensively we didn't quite do our job, and we couldn't score more than 10 points.
Well, and part of that is, you know, you lost Cole Chandler early in that ballgame, which he's just starting quarterback. But in my humble opinion, Walker LaVoy is very serviceable as a quarterback. He can handle business back there.
And they had a competition in the fall. We knew that coming in that there was going to be a competition. And, you know, it was neck and neck up until the very, very last practice. Cole ended up, pulling out of that one with the starting job. But, Walker played great, and I'm excited to see what he has going forward. But tough loss. Couldn't do much as an offense. 3 turnovers. It was a tough game.
Yeah, very crazy. Seth, you got thoughts on POU taking Linfield to their absolute limit? I mean,
looking at the box score, the stats were really pretty similar between the two teams.
Right.
The only thing that really stood out to me was the turnover differential. You guys had 3 turnovers. They only had 1. Mm-hmm. So that will really kill you in a close game like that.
Yeah, and one of those turnovers was on 4th down. Brady actually tipped up a ball and it got picked off. The other one was a fumble right before the first half ended, in which we were actually, you know, going in. I believe we were on the 30-yard line. Wasn't a fumble in my opinion. I was right there and saw the ball squirt out really when I thought our running back Mark Gallant was down. One of the refs even actually said that he didn't think it was a fumble. One of the refs actually said it was, and in D3 we don't have video reviews.
Right.
So that was a tough deal, but 3 turnovers you're not going to win very many games with.
So regardless, a good performance from the POU football game to compete for as long as they did and to take Linfield all the way into overtime before losing 16-10 to the Wildcats. Seth, you want to take us through what happened with women's soccer during the week?
Oh, absolutely. Women's soccer played a couple games this week. Weekend, they beat Whitman 4-1, outshooting them 16-2 for the whole game. And then on Sunday, they beat Whitworth 2-0, outshot them 11-4, upping their total, outshooting opponents to 266-80. They are now 4 points ahead, I believe, in their conference, looking like a lock for playoffs at this point.
Yeah, they pretty much have that one seed wrapped up, you know, barring they have at least a share of it by my understanding, but, you know, I let it all play out and figure it out once it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Sunday was senior day, and the Lutes got goals from senior Kaylee Roselle and Michaela Grady, and right now we're going to play a clip from Michaela Grady.
You've had so much success with this group, and to contribute to 2 goals on senior day, you know, what's that like? How does that feel?
It's awesome. You know, we come out here and we try to keep the game as it is. It's a game. It's nothing more than that. It is senior day, but we like to focus on the process and keep to what we do because we can't let our emotions get in the way of the game. So it was exciting for us to come out with that win.
Okay, talk about your emotions now that it's all
all over. I mean, I have a lot of adrenaline going still, so it's kind of hard to focus on what I feel, but I think here when I see my family who, you know, came from different states to see me, I think I'll start crying a little bit, but it's so great. I think all the seniors, we have a great connection, and it's just great to come out here and to come out on top in a big game.
Excellent. Thank you.
So that was a conversation I had with Michaela Grady after her senior day, and my biggest takeaway from talking to Grady after that game was that, you know, it's her senior day. She scores a goal. You know, her team has been so successful over the last 4 years, and it took me a second question to get her to talk about the emotions of the day. I mean, that's how locked in and focused this group is right now.
Yeah, women's soccer, you know, they've always, even last year, they were locked in and ended up winning the conference, and I think they're kind of lining up for the same result this year that they're 4 points ahead in first place right now.
Absolutely. DJ, let's jump forward. Let's talk about what happened with POU volleyball over the weekend.
Yeah, so volleyball was at home last weekend. Friday, our football team actually got to go to one of the, I think it was the second set, and we were all dressed up.
Yeah, I got
up.
Beef with all of you guys.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But it was a bad result for the Lutes on Friday. They lost in 3 sets, so they were swept. It was 27-25. First set, 27-25 again in the second set, and then 30-28. And that's coming off of the Lutes coming into that match ranked for the first time all year.
So I gotta interject because we're talking about Friday night's POU volleyball game.
Go ahead.
It was Halloween weekend, obviously, and we have a costume contest every year down in Olson, like who shows up, who dresses the best, and there were a lot of awesome costumes. DJ, I completely forgot to introduce you as the Pope because DJ went as the Pope, which was really funny. And
hey,
there was,
if you want to check it out, go follow Christian on Instagram at the Real Christian Bond.
It's private right now, but I'll probably accept your follow request. I mean, there were kids dressed up as everything. There was, I think, a bunch of women's soccer players dressed up as like McDonald's French fries.
Yep.
Some people were dressed up as Doritos, just wearing like a red shirt and carrying around a Doritos bag. Like
Donkey and Shrek made an appearance.
I don't know when being food for Halloween became a thing, but it's like really popular right now, which I think is also funny.
Yeah.
But we have this Halloween costume contest, and a lot of people show up a little bit late to kind of, you know, make an entrance onto the court. And then there's the competition takes place between the break between the second set and the third set. They take about a 10-minute break.
Yep.
Competition happens. After whoever won, do you know who won?
Walker LaVoy.
Walker LaVoy as Napoleon Dynamite,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was.
It was
Napoleon.
A very, very good costume.
He looked exactly like him. That was no wig or anything.
Great costume, right? The place is packed because all these students show up dressed, ready to have some fun. As soon as Walker LaVoy gets his pizza for having the best costume, 45 people,
football
guys, leave.
Yes.
Oof.
One thing I will say to that.
Try and defend yourself because this is bad, DJ.
The reason that. Oh, I can only speak for my house. The reason we went home.
You have bedtime, you have curfew? Well, come on, what is this?
Well, we don't technically have a curfew, but we did go home. We got our stuff ready for the game, got some more film study in, and got, you know, hydrated up some more to get ready for that big game on Saturday. So I can only speak for my house, but that's the reason we left.
I don't know, DJ. It really wasn't. I mean, you know, what's 20 more minutes to watch? What ended up being the third and final set for this volleyball game. I don't know. It just looked really bad when all of you guys took off and like a herd of you guys took off and left.
Which is totally understandable. I can understand where people are coming from.
Would you like to say you're sorry or would you like to ride with what you did?
I'll just ride with what we did. I'll just ride with what we did there.
I'm just going to stay out of this simply because I haven't gone to any PLU sporting events.
You can't talk either.
So I feel that wouldn't be very fair.
I don't know. I just think it's tough to say, hey, come out and support at one on Sparks when you can make it for a set and a half of a volleyball game the night before. Like, I don't know. I don't know about that one, DJ. I'm going to call you out on that one.
All right.
That's a tough deal.
Yeah. We'll just leave it as it is.
Tell us what happened on Saturday night.
Anyways, even though the football team left, the Lutes continued to play volleyball on Saturday night for senior night against Willamette. They swept the Bearcats 25-16, 25-13, and 25-15. As of right now, the Lutes are 18-4 overall, 12-2 in conference. To my understanding, they have a one-game lead over Whitworth right now for the conference lead. So if they can win out, which is very, very likely, they will lock up the conference and get that automatic bid to the playoffs. In fact, tonight they have a game against UPS, right, Christian?
They do.
And it is a blackout, so come on out and support your Lady Lutes.
Will you be there, DJ?
And wear black. I will not because I have night practice from 6:30 to probably 10 tonight.
Oh, man,
it depends on how Scott's feeling.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. Let's talk about men's soccer. Men's soccer had huge games this weekend. First, it started on Saturday when the Lutes hosted Willamette. The Bearcats tied the game at 1 late in the second half, I believe in like the 82nd or 83rd minute. It took 38 seconds for POU to answer and go back on top 2-1. Eddie Noss scored a goal, I kid you not, 38 seconds later, and the Lutes would go on to win. They would beat Willamette 2-1 as the final score, and that was a huge game because that was
1-2, right?
Pivotal. Yeah, that was 1-2 in the Northwest Conference. And, you know, POU, after their crazy weekend last weekend against the Wits, you can go back and listen to how we talked about it and how we described it on Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. You know, just to be able to get to this point and then to win that game that they needed to win was huge for them. We move forward to Sunday. The Lutes played Linfield, who came into the game 0-11-1 in conference. I mean, that's a game that they can wrap up, and they did. POU beat Linfield 4-1. At the same time, Willamette played Puget Sound. Puget Sound beat Willamette.
Hey.
So that gave POU another edge, and now POU, I think, has a chance to, again, at least share the conference title, if not win it outright.
Yeah, because it's based on points, right?
So there's a point system as well as the record. So, you know, again, I've spent maybe 20 games of my life following soccer. That was this year for POU Athletics.
Yeah.
But going off their record, and I mean, they have a chance to at least share. There was some more huge news that came from Sunday's senior day. There were only two seniors on the POU men's soccer program this year. It was Bennett Bugby and Eddie Knob. And in that game against Linfield, Eddie Knob became the greatest goal scorer in the history of POU men's soccer. He scored two goals against Linfield. That gave him his 49th, which tied the record, and it gave him his 50th goal, which now sets him apart as the best goal scorer in the history of POU men's soccer.
It's a great accomplishment.
Congratulations, Dan.
Great accomplishment for Eddie, and you know, I believe that he's gonna play somewhere after college.
He will play somewhere afterwards, and I think I mentioned this during the bonus show, but I do a lot of work for POU as far as their Hall of Fame is concerned. To be able to watch someone and realize, okay, he'll be a POU Hall of Famer as far as athletics is concerned because of his accomplishments and what he's done over his last 4 years, and then solidifying that this weekend. I mean, that pretty much wrapped it up. It was kind of fun for me to sit there and realize, whoa, this dude is going to be talked about from, you know, in 20 years from now. So fun stuff happening over the weekend for POU Athletics. Again, women's soccer, volleyball, and men's soccer are all sitting at the top of the Northwest Conference. So a lot of good things happening around campus this fall. All right, it's time for a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little World Series with you at home. So be ready to call in and give us your thoughts on what's been happening over the World Series. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll talk about if the baseballs are juiced. We'll talk about how the pitching has been. We'll talk about how the hitting has been. We'll talk about everything. So don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet didn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is DJ Winter, you know, number 87 tight end on the football team, fifth in the Northwest Conference in yards per game, and tied for second.
He did it.
With touchdowns. I decided to. I'm joined by my fellow half athletes here, one of them being Christian Bond, being our other co-host, Seth, not new. I'm taking it off.
Thank you, DJ.
If you like what you're hearing, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu, and listen live. If you want to call in, the number is 253-535-7332. And if you want to hear more of us, go to our YouTube page at Half Athlete Radio. Type in Half Athlete Radio on YouTube.
Yep.
Right now, we're right over 70 subscribers, and if we get to 100, the bar has been set, we will do another bonus show.
Another bonus show.
Unfortunately, me and Seth weren't able to do that bonus show with Christian, but we're hoping we get another shot at it.
Yeah, super fun.
Two best words in sports, Game 7. And that's what we have tonight with the World Series, with the Astros and Dodgers. I believe it's Lance McCullers going for the Astros and Yu Darvish going for the Dodgers. Seth, I know you said Astros in seven, so why don't you kick this discussion off? Who's going to win tonight?
I do like Houston. Lance McCullers, I think, is the perfect matchup for Houston going into Game 7 with that curveball. You know, the sliders have been really tough to throw for really everybody this series, but he's very dependent on that curveball, and if he's got that working for him tonight, I like Houston winning this game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with the Dodgers. Home field advantage has been crucial throughout these playoffs for everyone, not just in the World Series, and the Dodgers have home field advantage. You mentioned McCullers with that curveball. That's the one pitcher I think that the Dodgers might have the most trouble getting to because of that curveball. You know, I'm going to open up to our callers right now. Again, 253-535-7332. Again, it's 253-535-7332. We had a lot of people call in and talk about how juiced the baseballs were on Monday during our bonus show, which was great. You know, the amount of home runs that have been hit, I think the number's at 24 right now. It'll most likely be more than 25 by the end of this World Series for the most ever hit in a World Series. We're seeing kind of the renaissance. I'm not willing to jump and say that the balls are juiced simply because, you know, you see it all the time. The philosophy of the hitting has changed. People are hitting the bottom half of the baseball and backspinning it, right? Giving it more carry. I mean, both the home runs hit in last night's game, there were two, only two, which is really a small number for after what we saw.
Very, very low for
game
the World
five,
Series.
Right?
Yes.
George Springer got under the bottom of the baseball, backspun it opposite field. Jock Peterson got underneath the baseball, hit it opposite field.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good hitting. Yes. I don't think that's a juiced baseball. That's really, really good hitting. DJ, go ahead, spew your thoughts on this.
I tweeted out while I was watching the awesome Game 5 Sunday night. It actually, you know, at this point in the season, I usually watch football, but the World Series was just too good that I had to tune in and mm-hmm. watch that game. I tweeted, baseball wants to shorten the games, fan like long balls and offense, which prolongs games.
There
don't
you go.
Mess with the game. It's good at this point. You know, I don't care if the balls are juiced. That's what fans like to see. They like to see high scoring. They like to see home runs and long balls. Like, how far can Giancarlo Stanton hit it every night, night in and night out? That's always the highlight on SportsCenter. So, you know what? I'm going to say that I don't mind it.
It's not even...
I hate it.
You,
I hate it.
You hate
okay,
it?
Okay, so the thing is, he doesn't even care if the balls are juiced. They're hitting them out. Seth, you say you hate it. Why?
It takes away the authenticity of this era. I mean, we just got out of the steroid era 10, 15 years ago, and how is this any different if we're just giving them a new way, an artificial way to hit home runs?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a fair point, but I think someone brought it up during the bonus show that, you know, it's so different and that this, that, and the other. I mean, it's attracting the general audience towards baseball.
Which is what baseball is lacking right now at this point.
Which is what any sport is lacking. You know, we're going to talk about the Seahawks game later. Those two teams combined to almost put up 1,000 yards of offense in one game. And people loved that Seahawks game. They thought it was awesome.
Best game of the year.
Right.
They said.
So when we see an extra inning game that finishes with a score of 13-12, and people can't stop talking about it, positively or negatively,
mm-hmm.
if the ball's juiced... Kind of like DJ said, it doesn't matter because it's getting the job done and attracting that general audience.
Mm-hmm. Part of baseball, you know, is the game being played and, you know, the integrity of it. The other is the business side, and you have to have money in order to keep the business going. And I think the long balls are helping the subscribership, viewership, and bringing all that, you know, up, because it really is about that general viewer. And you're going to have your diehards, but if the general viewer can come to the games and watch it and enjoy it, then that's going to help the sport out.
From a business standpoint, it does make sense, but do you guys really think there won't be ramifications as far as the league goes if it's determined that they are juicing the balls not telling anybody?
Right. If the league is doing it, is the league going to punish itself?
It's going to be punished by the fans. They're going to be upset.
Which part, though?
The diehard fans, the ones who like
the diehards are there. The diehards aren't leaving.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean we'll see.
Give us your thoughts. 253-535-7332. Again, the number to call is 253-535-7332. It's an interesting conversation. I personally don't think that they're juiced. I mean, there are some questionable home runs in Game 5, like when Yasiel Puig one-armed the ball over the fence in left field in Houston. That's an absurd amount of strength for a person to do that. That's one that can be questioned. The ball that Correa hit that went 170 feet in the air before it found the seats, that's another one that's kind of like, I don't know about that one. But all the rest of them, I mean, people are hitting the ball differently than they used to.
Like you said, I think a lot of it has to do with the new philosophy and swinging more up, getting the bottom third of the ball, and just, you know, launching that. And I also think players are becoming We hit that steroid era where everybody, you know, was juicing and hitting the ball. I do think the training of our athletes is increasing in a way that also contributes to that, along with the philosophy. We're getting more high tech in the ways we train athletes, and ways, I don't want to say, you know, illegal substances, but there are ways that you can push the boundaries and, you know, try and take something that will give you that little extra edge, because I mean the edge in professional sports is that much smaller. And I do think, you know, there's always going to be guys that are pushing the limits. There's guys busted every year for PEDs. So I do think our training has come a long way, and might be contributing to that as well.
You can definitely make the argument these are the two best teams. In theory, they have the two best offenses. I get that. It seems disproportionate the amount of home runs that we're getting in this series.
It does, and I'll agree with you on that point. But, you know, at the same time, I can't remember what year it was, but it wasn't that long ago when people were just enthralled with what they had dubbed the year of the pitcher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers were dominant. And that's when we started to see velocity creep up and everything start to get bigger, faster, stronger for pitchers. Well, now I think what we're seeing is more of the answer, you know, to things like the shift and that pitchers ramping up in the velocity. Like the shift I mentioned, you can't put a player in the stance.
Mm-mm.
So people have fixed how they swing to be able to produce more home runs.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And I think going back to what you mentioned, Lance McCullers, that curveball, people who throw the curveball right now are more valuable than they ever will be.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone can hit a fastball no matter how hard you're throwing it.
Yes.
And the harder you're throwing it, the further it's going to go
mm-hmm.
right now. But if you can break off a gnarly curveball like Lance McCullers can, yeah, you're going to get paid and you're going to be very successful
because you're able to keep hitters so off balance.
Can't do anything with it.
Yes.
Can't get the bottom half of the ball's dropping through the strike zone.
Yep.
So
even like Edwin Diaz, who throws a heck of a fastball, drops it off with a slider, though.
Right. I mean, he has a slider to match, but still, people touch up Edwin Diaz's 99, 100, 102 mile an hour fastball.
And even like Aroldis Chapman, for that matter, we're seeing more and more people be able to hit off of him
mm-hmm.
because they're able to catch up with his timing now and just hit that fastball.
And it could just be a trend and a shift in how the hitters are trying to hit the ball, hit that bottom third of the ball. The thing that really concerns me is just the pitchers coming out and stating these balls are noticeably different.
Well, that's a... I get that they can come out and say that, but that's also a really good out for when they go out and throw a bad game.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. That's a really safe play for them to go, yeah, this is totally different.
Very true.
Until, I'm not giving up bombs. Dude, the ball's different. That's not my fault. Like, yes. Come on.
Until there's any statistical evidence that the balls are juiced, like, it's only opinion-based right now.
You'll see it go back. It'll teeter and totter.
Yeah.
You'll see home runs this year, then you'll see curveballs next year. I mean, it'll go back and forth. So.
Yeah, like we said, it's just a one-year sample.
Go around the room. Tell us who you got tonight in Game 7 of the World Series.
You know, I'm going the smart pick. I'm going Dodgers. I said
he changed his mind!
I said Astros in 6, but, you know, the Dodgers have momentum right now, and momentum plays such a big role in sports. You got Yu Darvish on the mound, and he's going to get the job done tonight. Dodgers are going to win.
Dodgers taking it. Seth, what do you got?
I'm sticking with Houston in 7.
Yep.
Houston in 7. You mentioned Yu Darvish on the mound. Astros AL West team. Yu Darvish was a Texas Ranger for
yes.
a long, long time, and he got touched up when he pitched earlier in this series.
Mm-hmm.
However, he's going to fix it tonight. Dodgers are going to take the World Series tonight.
He also probably won't go as long because of how...
You never know. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will talk some Seahawks and talk about how well Russell Wilson played, maybe how bad the defense played, maybe some trades were made this week, and maybe we'll look ahead. You'll have to stick around to find out. Don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game!
Wow.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Seth Bershing. I'm a half athlete here at PLU. I'm not in sports anymore, but I do love sports. I'm obsessed with it, actually. Ooh. Joining me in studio today is another half athlete. His name is Christian Bond.
Yes.
He also does not play sports anymore, no. But he loves to write about them, talk about them on the radio, yes. And do all sorts of things with sports.
I do that.
Also in studio today is the only athlete left here on staff. His name is DJ Winters, tight end for that PLU football team.
Gang.
He scores touchdowns 50% of the times he touches it, right, DJ?
That's right. That's right.
It's lower after last week, but yeah.
You're right. It is lower than that now. If you like what you're listening to, want to hear it again, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu. Go check out our YouTube page, Half Athlete Radio. I believe we are up to 74 subscribers on that right now.
Yeah, we just keep growing. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. If you want another bonus show, we got to get to 100. So if you're not already, go subscribe to that. Help us get to 100. If you want to call into the show, go ahead, do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. All right. The Seahawks had quite an interesting game this week, playing the Houston Texans. Final score 41-38. The highest scoring game by far in this NFL season. What did you guys see in this game? Was it good offense by both teams? Was it lack of defense? What did you guys see?
I think that I would be lying if I was like, yeah, I figured Houston would come in and score almost 40 points against the Seattle defense. Like, that's something that was extremely unexpected, I guess. I think from a lot of people, because, you know, the Texans come in, they got a rookie quarterback. I mean, they have weapons, but they had a rookie quarterback. And what we did expect to happen, Deshaun Watson from the Texans made some huge mistakes. He threw three interceptions. And it was just kind of, you know, some things happened that you thought would, and more things happened that you didn't think would. That's where I sit with what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, I would say, my kind of theme of the day was quarterback play. Deshaun Watson, well, both Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson both led their teams in passing. And, well, typically going to be true.
They are the quarterbacks.
Wow. But leading in passing and rushing. Deshaun Watson had 67 rushing yards. And Russell Wilson had 30 yards, which was the high for the Seahawks, which, you know, is another theme, which was no running game or lack thereof. But, you know, both quarterbacks played lights out. Watson, you know, he did show his rookie experience throwing three picks on the day, but he did have four touchdowns.
Both QBs were over 400 passing yards for
yes,
the day.
Yes, Watson was 19 for 30 with 402 yards. I wasn't expecting that either, for him to come into CenturyLink with the crowd noise and that defense, and what he did, he made them look silly out there on the field.
Seth, what do you think of everything that happened on Sunday? What's your ultimate takeaway?
Well, I got to give props to Houston. I think they are a better team than their record of, 3-4?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a lot better than that. I think they're a playoff team in a weak division. But I also think they're set up for the future with Deshaun Watson. Anybody who can put up almost 40 points against the Seattle defense is good.
Right.
Undoubtedly good.
Right. It's, you know, and we gotta go ahead and mention those final couple of minutes. During our bonus show, we had a guy call in and talk about, you know, Russell Wilson throws a pick late in that game. It was the only pick that Russell Wilson threw, but he threw it late in that game, and the Texans had a chance to just run the timeout, right? I mean, something similar to that. And they weren't able to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward, you know, the Seahawks break off a huge chunk play and then get down near the red zone. And the Texans don't know what defense they're running. And Jimmy Graham, like, walks into the end zone, catches a pass, and
they
scores the game.
They just run a three-vertical concept there. And it's just, like you said, the Texans didn't know what they were doing.
They had no idea, you know. Mm-hmm. They were playing, like, three different defenses when, you know, the team needs to be playing one. And Graham catches the ball, runs into the end zone. Is this another case where we should start to talk about, you know, who beat who? Because both teams played really well offensively. Like we mentioned before, you know, they've combined for nearly 1,000 yards. But the mistakes that the Texans made late in that ballgame, did they cost themselves the game ultimately? Or was it more of, you know, Seahawks
broke off the big plays they needed to and found the guy they needed to at the end and won it.
You can definitely make that argument. I think you could make a good argument either way.
Right, so we got to pick one.
But good teams will go out, make those plays at the end. And yes, Houston is a good team, but Seattle, with a lot more experience on their roster, made those plays at the end of the game that Houston didn't.
I mean, any game, you're going to have a case where, we beat ourselves or we didn't play.
Well, not any game. I mean, if we're sitting here talking about a 40-13 game, yeah, the Seahawks walked all over. Like, the Texans probably don't have a chance to go, yeah, we beat ourselves when we lost by 4 touchdowns. Like, no.
Yeah, but
I'm going to say no on that one.
In that 40 to, like, for example, if the Hawks did come out and beat the Texans 40-13, the Texans probably made mistakes that cost them the game. I would say about 85% of the games, there is going to be a rhyme or a reason that a team lost, whether that be turnovers, not executing up to their full potential, or something.
Yeah,
like.
But if you don't execute plays, that's because the other team beat you.
Yeah,
like, get out of your PR.
But
bowl. Like, come on.
you can also make a case for people not doing their job, and that ultimately
because the other team beat you. The other team was better than you, causing you to not do your job. But this is a case where it's a close game. The Seahawks win partially because the Red Seas parted for Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Pick a side. Did the Texans beat themselves or did the Seahawks beat themselves?
Texans beat themselves.
Wow, he's going to go that way with it because they couldn't come up with that defense or because they could all of what happened in the last
all,
5 minutes.
All of what happened in the last 5 minutes and
very interesting.
The pick six and the turnovers that Deshaun Watson had.
We also had a caller during the bonus show, you know, obviously call in and talk about how Russell Wilson isn't getting the praise he deserves. Maybe he is here in the Northwest, but around the nation as far as being one of the best quarterbacks in the league. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I stated earlier in the year that he is a second tier quarterback, and I'll stick with that. He is playing great football right now, and he's making a case for him being the MVP just because he simply is really valuable to the Seahawks team.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I don't think he's getting enough praise because, like I've said before, not very many teams on the West Coast get a lot of publicity. It's always, you know, Patriots, Cowboys, things like that. And that's just a lack of coverage on the West Coast, which has always been a problem in sports.
80% of the time in the United States is held in the Midwest and the East, and that's, you know, a lot of the reason for that. But Seth, let's go ahead, give your thoughts on if Russell Wilson is being regarded as a great quarterback as he should be, or if he needs more.
I think he's a B-plus quarterback playing at an A level right now.
Ooh, look at that.
I disagree, DJ, that he's not getting the credit that he deserves. This week, the Seahawks are ranked number one in the power rankings, and that wouldn't be the case.
Which power rankings was that in?
I can't remember.
There's like 30 different that come out all the time. It's just like an AP poll.
I'm sure it was at least a couple of the rankings.
Right.
But
yeah, go on.
They wouldn't be there if people weren't recognizing, like, wow, the Seahawks are playing very well offensively, defensively. They're looking like a juggernaut who's going to be there again come February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I can agree with that. I do think he, right now, is playing not only up to his potential, but exceeding that a little bit. And like you said, you know, they are up there in the power rankings. A couple other ones I saw had him ranked like fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
So I can't say he's playing bad because he's not.
I think we're shifting towards. The way that I described it to the caller was that the narrative with the Seahawks have been they're so defense-oriented, which I still think that when a lot of people around the country think of the Seattle Seahawks, they think Legion of Boom.
Yes.
And their safeties and all of that stuff. Now we're starting to see the transition where it's not about that defense anymore and it's more about Russell Wilson. I think we're a little early to the Russell Wilson trend, but as soon as it gets to the point where it's all about Russell Wilson, it will be, yeah. Obviously.
Which is sports. Like, sports is very, very trendy.
Right. So, let's move forward. Houston and Seattle stayed in the news together
throughout the week that there was a trade that was made, I believe, on Monday. The yes. Seahawks had planned to send Jeremy Lane a fifth rounder in 2018 and a second rounder in 2019 for left tackle Dwayne Brown.
I believe it was just the fifth rounder.
It was just the fifth rounder?
Originally, it was.
I hadn't heard the updated trade.
I thought that they had added the 2019 second round pick. However, we're talking about what the trade is. We don't know it because there were so many changes to it. Jeremy Lane got over to Houston and then failed a physical.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy Lane gets sent back to the Seahawks. The trade turns into a third rounder in 2018 and a second rounder in 2019 for left tackle Dwayne Brown, and the Seahawks keep Jeremy Lane, is my understanding. So, Seth, what do you make of that trade?
Well, I'm actually sad that we're keeping Jeremy Lane. I don't think he's been any good at all since the Super Bowl against the Patriots. However, getting a good left tackle, an elite left tackle in Dwayne Brown, I think should definitely help this offense run the ball, hopefully, because this last game they rushed for 1.6 yards per carry. That's not going to cut it in the playoffs.
It's worth noting that Russell Wilson had to restructure his own contract with the Seahawks to make room for new left tackle Dwayne Brown, which is obviously when it comes to protecting yourself, like that's probably worth the money that they shifted towards the end or whatever they did with that money to keep Russell Wilson upright. DJ, I want your thoughts on the trade for Dwayne Brown.
So the initial trade was to ship Lane a 2018 fifth round pick and a 2019 second round pick to the Texans. So Christian, you were right.
Yep.
I was wrong. Christian.
Yep.
Okay. But now the Seahawks are sending a 2018 third round pick, a 2019 and a 2019 second round pick along with Jeremy Lane to the Texans in exchange for Brown and a 2018 fifth round selection. So we are getting that extra, you know, fifth round selection.
Yeah. Which was a confusing part to me. Yeah. I was like, wow, you sent a player over there and
he failed the physical.
So he's now coming you're going to get another draft. Yeah. That part was a little nutty to me. So, but anyway, yes. DJ, what do you think of it?
You know, I think the Hawks' offensive identity has changed. The trade that happened, I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, that's good. I would have been completely fine with the offensive line we have now because I think they were starting to get cohesiveness and play well. Yes, Reese Odhiambo did struggle on Sunday, but that's against Jadeveon Clowney, who is arguably one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL right now. I do think their offensive identity, like I said, has changed. They're not a run first team anymore. It's more of a balance than a power run pro style system. You still need to try and establish that running game. You can't just completely go away from it because that ultimately sets up the passing game. So I am happy with the trade, but like I said, I would have done without it too.
We have to get to a break sometime soon, but I'm going to keep asking questions. Why do they need to run the ball? They just passed for 400 and whatever yards. They just hung 41 points on a team. I mean, why?
Because
if it sets up the pass, are they going to throw for 700 yards if they can run the ball? Like, what do they do better because they could run the ball?
When you're passing the ball, your offense is either going to go probably three and out, you're going to punt it really quickly, or you're going to get down the field really quickly passing the ball, get in the end zone, get a field goal, and your defense goes right back out there. Your defense will get worn out if you can't run the ball.
So this is a keep the professional athletes, the best athletes in the world, from being tired issue, and that's all that is, not a, like, what is it?
No, you know, if you become one-dimensional in the passing game, so you can't run the ball, you can just pass, teams are going to start keying on that. They'll start, I mean, these guys put in hours upon hours of film study week in and week out, and if you can just pass the ball, then they're just going to sit back there in coverage, and Russell Wilson will not be able to be amazing like he has been playing. If you have that running game, you become, you know, you're not so, you become more well-rounded as an offense, and you're not stuck to one option. You're able to, because you'll catch the defense off pace, and they'll be able to run the ball.
I get the whole we don't want to be one-dimensional idea, right? But the Seahawks only ran for 33 yards last game. Russell Wilson had 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
what if everyone knows they're going to pass the ball and then all of a sudden Russell Wilson decides this is a quarterback draw and that's your rushing offense?
Yeah, I mean, that.
What's wrong with that? I mean, why do they need a rush game? I obviously know why, but if you're going to hang 400 passing yards on a team and 41 points, I think you're doing all right without the rushing game.
Yeah, but I would say that those 452 yards, those you won't see those numbers week in and week out because of the one dimensional of the offense.
We'll see.
You see it in college, but that's because everybody's fast, everybody's strong in the NFL. Where college, you have a bigger performance gap with those athletes. And so,
well, talk about athletes. You got Jimmy Graham, the biggest dude on the field that is going to be a skill position threat, right? Cool. Yeah. He can beat a matchup, right? We've seen Paul Richardson run down the field and jump higher than anyone ever, right? And catch footballs. I'm not convinced they need to rush the football.
A lot of the time, though, when he's running so far down the field and catching those balls, it's off of a play fake and a shot play, which sucks the defense up. And then you get one-on-one coverage with a cornerback, and Paul Richardson is able to outjump that.
Well, how's that working if they have no rush game? No one should be sitting on that play fake. DJ, what is happening?
Because
no one needs to run the football.
Because they're honoring the running game. The Hawks.
They're honoring the running game they don't have. That doesn't make any sense.
You don't see any teams in the NFL who like merely pass every single time. Even the Patriots example. Even the Patriots for that example. They still run the ball and they technically run a spread system in the NFL.
Okay, we're way over. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have like 4 seconds to talk about college football playoff rankings. They just came out this week, so of course we're going to talk about them. Don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative.
It's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's Half Athlete. I'm joined by tight end from the POU football team, DJ Winter. Yep. And our new co-host, his name is Seth Bershing. If you want to listen to the show in its entirety, you can go back and listen to it at massmedia.pou.edu. Again, that number that is massmedia.pou.edu. Check us out on YouTube. We have experienced a huge growth spurt over there on YouTube. We're up to like 74, 75 subscribers. We want to do another bonus show like we did on Monday. Again, that content from that bonus show can be found on YouTube at Half Athlete Radio. So go over there, subscribe, and if you want to do another bonus show, Half Athlete Radio on YouTube, tell your friends, let's get that number up to 100, and we will be very, very happy because then someone might hire me after I'm done at POU, and that's really what we're after. So if you want to call into the show and talk about the first college football playoff rankings that came out earlier this week, you can do it 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. So let's jump into it at our first college football rankings that came out, and looking at the top six right now, we got Georgia at 8-0 at number one, Alabama in there number two, 8-0 as well. Notre Dame is in there at three, Clemson is in at four, Oklahoma 7-1, and Ohio State at 7-1 are also in the mix for contention. Pulled up an article on CBSSports.com, and they have Washington, our Huskies, our favorite team over here, they have them overrated at number 12. You guys have thoughts on the fact that CBS Sports thinks that the Huskies are overrated?
They started the year off at number 8, and a lot of people said, that was being overrated right there. They have beaten up on a lot of teams. Granted, they did lose to Arizona State, and they dropped down to 12. So I don't see why. They only have one loss. I don't see why they are overrated right now. They have, except with the exception of that one loss, they have killed almost every single team. And they haven't played anybody like a lot of people have said. But they got big games coming up, so they can just hold their judgment until we play better teams.
Seth, you got a couple thoughts on the thought that the Huskies are ranked way too high at number 12.
I think 12 is about the right spot for them. They're pretty much behind all of the one-loss teams in the rankings, all the Power 5 one-loss teams. So I think 12 is about right. I think they can get a little higher than that. As far as making college football playoffs, I'm not sold on that still.
One interesting stat I saw this week was the lowest, when these rankings first come out, the lowest team that has made it was Ohio State. In the original installment of the college football playoff, they were ranked 16th. So
they've climbed all the way up into, what, 6th now?
Well, this was back in, I believe, 2015, the first year of the college mm-hmm. football playoff, so like the group of four or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see. The Huskies still have some big games coming up, and, you know, they do need some stuff to happen in front of them.
Tom Fornelli put together the article on CBS Sports, and his reason for saying that Washington is overrated at 12 is that they don't have an impressive win or an impressive loss. I mean, they just have. They have 7 wins. None of them are like, whoa, they beat so-and-so, and they have 1 loss, and that's not like, ooh, they lost to so-and-so.
Yeah,
I mean if, they just are a team right now.
Yeah, if a team starts, you know, if a team starts ranked 8 and they just keep winning, you know, what are you going to do? Move them down a couple spots, and then they get that loss. They were all the way up to 5th, and then you drop them down to 12. That's a 7-slot difference.
It's more the realization, like I mentioned last week, that they're just not as good as they were last year. Just look at the guy, you know, it's not an X's and O's thing. It's a Johns and Joes thing, and they don't have the Johns and Joes they had last year. That's what it is.
I think they're just, you know, they're younger. They had to change a lot of personnel, and I think that's, you know, it's going to...
So did everyone, though. Like, I hate that kind of... It's not a you thing, DJ. Everyone who talks like that. Like, they lost a lot of guys. Well, so did everyone.
Bama does it every year.
Bama loses a lot of guys every year. Exactly.
They turn out 10 NFL starters every draft. Yeah, and they're still number one.
Let's keep in mind, though, that this is Peterson's fourth year. Sorry. So
what does that mean?
He still is trying to... He still is establishing... Sorry, hold on.
DJ battling through a cold right now.
He's still, excuse me, is trying to establish the program, and, you know, he's still bringing in those recruits.
Yeah, well, DJ is hacking up a lung, so it's probably time to get out of here. That's the first installment of the college football playoff. The official rankings, and again, the first week, they probably don't mean anything, but we still talked about them because why wouldn't we talk about them? It's great stuff. If you want to listen to other great stuff here on Laser throughout the week, go ahead, do that. Tune in on Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. It's a late show. It'll help you get ready for bed on Tuesday nights because, let's be real, you're not doing anything better on Tuesday night. So tune in to What's the Big Deal with Dylan Forman, Sarah Cornell Meyer, and Zach Goff. Again, 9 p.m. on Tuesdays on Laser. Also, on Fridays, you want to get excited for football that's going to be taking place all weekend long. You can do that by tuning into HNC Sports with Heinel Liu and Carson Barnett right here at Laser. That's 10:30 a.m. on Friday. Today was a lot of fun, and it's going to be up on YouTube later, Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. It'll also be up on Mass Media later today. So for Seth Bershing and DJ Winter, we're out of here. See ya.